We're rising.
Ignition sequence start.
We're rising.
Joy FM.
Calling all cooks and bakers, I need you to confirm and affirm and reassure me this thing would really work. Here's what I'm talking about. A couple of nights ago, so Abby, her roommate Lexi, they live together in Tallahassee. Lexi just got a job here and they are moving into an apartment together. It's a brand new apartment, so they were supposed to move in February. Then it was March. Now it's April. So we'll see. We'll see.
Is your house getting smaller?
Yeah. It's been so fun, though. It really has. So the other night, Abby was making, she was making a HelloFresh recipe. It wasn't an actual HelloFresh, but it was something she learned from HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. So she's roasting some sweet potatoes and this purple onion. And so she's got it on the pan there. And when she's done, like, I always put foil down on the pan just because I don't like scrubbing a pan. That drives me nuts.
That or parchment paper is one of my favorites to use in the oven.
Yeah, we'll do that too with cookies. So Lexi mentioned to Abby, they have another friend, Jamie, who is a fabulous cook. She's kind of like Tammy. She's got Italian in her. Her last name's Giglio. That says it all. And so she cooks. And so Abby and Lexi, they said, oh, when we get our apartment, you know, because Lord have mercy, these girls can't have something that mama doesn't have. So they were talking about when they said, oh, when we get our apartment, we need to get some of those silicone baking sheets that Jamie uses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, what are y'all talking about? Do tell. And so Abby pulled it up on Amazon. There's these silicone. Have y'all seen these?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
We actually... bought some of these. No, we bought them for Nathan and Catherine, I think, for Christmas this past year.
I've seen them on like Instagram ads, and I thought, oh, I want these, but then I forgot.
They're $11 on Amazon, the ones that Abby brought up. I cannot wrap my head around the fact, I mean, is silicone not like a form of plastic?
Silicone is the new thing. We have silicone muffin tins.
That's what Haley said, because she was making these egg muffins.
Yeah, and you just pop them right out.
Yes. And she said, Mom, you need to get a silicone. I cannot wrap my head around buying a silicone egg muffin.
Mm-hmm.
I would call it a tin, but it's not. But a silicone pan, I guess, you sticking it in an oven for 400 degrees.
You'd think it would melt.
And it doesn't melt.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's not plastic, it's silicone.
Yeah,
but here's the thing:
how did this come about? When did this technology come to be?
It's been there for a little while. We've actually worn out one set of muffin tins, and we just bought another one.
The silicone?
Yeah.
How'd you wear it out? Did it melt?
No, it did not melt.
Okay. I thought I was going to catch him there.
Eventually, it tore.
Oh, okay.
It didn't melt. One of the holes.
The cups?
One of the cups.
Yeah.
Tore.
Okay.
When we were getting the muffin out.
Do you not remember that you bought a couple of silicone teapots a few years ago?
Yeah.
Remember the travel teapots?
Yes, I still have that.
I mean, you're boiling water. That's over 212 degrees in there. So that's...
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, I guess you're right. I just cannot
don't
wrap...
Don't confuse her.
I know. I cannot wrap my brain around the fact that I can stick silicone... on a pan, stick it in the oven, and it will not, like, you just
it.
Abby says you just wipe it clean.
Yeah. How about this? I roasted vegetables in the oven last night on parchment paper.
Okay.
You can put paper in the oven,
and it doesn't burn. Okay, well, I am late to this
party. We just bought another set of the muffin tins. They make them now where it's not all silicone. Well, I guess I'm not sure what the top is made of. It's like hard top. But the cups are silicone.
Silicone muffin pans. Which one do you have?
If you are like a professional chef and you...
This is the craziest
you use this
thing.
Stuff. Like you like silicone.
Hold on. Four times.
Utensils. Not utensils. Pans and things like that. You should text us at 800-456-8910.
Here's a 12 one. for
Carmen's buying it.
Here's a 12 for $8.99.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Are certain silicone things better than others?
Yeah.
Like, I get nervous about the chemicals. I get nervous about leakage, that kind of weird stuff. That's my paranoia. But are certain kinds of silicone, are all silicones created equally?
Equal. Hmm.
That's my question. Here's the text
number. That's kind of like asking, is this copper the same as that copper?
800.
What color did y'all get?
I don't remember.
I see red, green, and blue.
800. It's probably blue. It's not red or green.
Okay.
800-456-8910. Text us or call us. Our audience is so resourceful.
I love it
when they chime in on a conversation like this. And we got quite a few texts and found out that silicone bakeware has been around since the 80s. We're kind of maybe late to the party
here. A little bit. Just a tiny bit.
I love this text that said, these are the best ever. I have like 7 of them. Use them for everything.
Okay.
And then I think that they meant to say makes for easy cleanup, but instead it came out mails for easy cleanup.
I think they just make their husband do that.
That's what I'm saying. It kind of works that way at my house. Kendra from Macon said she worked at Subway 15 years ago, and they baked the cookies on silicone baking sheets.
Okay.
And I think they still use them today. Had another chef say, they're a little too flimsy for commercial use.
Okay.
But then a chef said, you basically get what you pay for. I am a chef, and silicone is amazing. So
just don't get the cheap ones, apparently.
Yeah.
So, Bill, you were a little concerned about seepage.
Toxicity, and there are at least a listener or two that share that concern, but I haven't seen
There's
any
been
evidence.
A lot of study, and chemicalsafetyfacts.org looks at silicone, and the Canadians apparently were very concerned because they've done a lot of studies on this. And here's one quote from what I found, just so I can allay your fears.
Okay.
Taking into account all of the available scientific information, the report of the Canadian Board of Review concluded that siloxane D5, which is what silicone is made of, does not pose a danger to the environment. There is no evidence to demonstrate that it's toxic to any organism, that would be including humans, and will not accumulate to sufficiently great concentrations to cause adverse effects on organisms in air, water, soil, or sediments. So according to a lot of studies and all scientific available facts, it's perfectly safe.
Well, that's good news. I'm going to get my silicone from Canada. I'll be in great shape then. Hey, Jordan from Bradenton texted us one more on this silicone thing.
Uh-huh.
Said, I worked in the food industry for years, and at Ritz-Carlton, we used silicone pads in place of our parchment paper to bake things like Parmesan crisps or even cookies. You just lay them on the sheet pan like paper or foil, high heat resistance, easily cleaned. We called them sill pads.
Okay.
So he uses them quite frequently. So thanks for bringing it up.
I just ordered.
Of course you
So did. They'll be here tomorrow. $11.19. Okay. I'll go put a link at our Morning Cruise Insta story if you want to see the ones that I bought. I'll put them there. So I will report back to you next week.
You know, back in the day, they used to criticize Christians for being people who were so earthly, so heavenly minded, there were no earthly good. And then in the late part of, the 90s, the 80s, the late part of the last century, there were so many Bible teachers that learned to teach the Bible only for its, quote, practical value. It's like, we got to get cash value out of this scripture study. We got to show people how they can make their lives better. So you get 10 easy steps for this and formulas for that and all that kind of stuff. And then there was a reaction to that over the last decade or two. Pastors and preachers have changed that tactic a little bit. And then you have a year like last year, okay? And you realize no matter what you do, there are so many things you cannot control. And you've got to have a hope, as Carmen was saying, half of last year, let's get our gaze up. You've got to have a hope that goes beyond this life. And if Christianity doesn't have that hope, then all of its cash value is no better than any other religion or philosophical system in this world. We have a hope that goes beyond this life. We have a hope of eternity. That's the promise in Scripture that we're given. And so where do we go to find glimpses of that? Where do we go to get a handle on that? One place that I've been reading lately is Isaiah chapter 35. And I shared a little bit from that on prayer time this morning. And I love this passage. It's in the middle of the book of Isaiah. And it starts out with this phrase, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Isaiah has a full-blown vision of eternity right here in the middle of his book, in a situation where he's living in a land that was about to be surrounded by the largest empire of the day, Assyria, and the northern kingdoms had already been wiped out at this point. And the situation politically was a mess. The whole nation was in somewhat of a messy situation. But here in the middle of his book, he's got this promise to God's people that as much as God is redeeming and they're putting their faith in him, this will be their future. And not just for them, but he actually has us in view in this passage. He talks about the nations and the fact that we are the object of God's redeeming love. And he finishes it with this. He says, the redeemed shall walk there. And he's talking about eternity future, the kingdom of God. He says, the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Boy, those are powerful words if you have ears to hear. If you're going through a rough time, if you're groaning because the heaviness of this life is just on your shoulders, if you're dealing with circumstances that are too heavy for you, there is a promise that our Redeemer will complete what he has begun at the cross of Christ that we're about to celebrate at Easter, and that he will usher this world into its end and to an eternity that we cannot even begin to imagine. The Bible uses phrases like the desert blooming to try to give us that picture. What would that be like? Dry places that are parched, being satiated. A feast full of the finest foods and aged wine is another image that Isaiah uses. And this idea that all sorrow and all sighing shall flee away. You don't have to go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, to get that. You can get that in the Old Testament right here in the book of Isaiah. And I just think that's such a powerful thought for us sometimes. Mm-hmm. We need that glimpse of eternity. It doesn't make us so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. It actually gives us hope in the midst of the battle.
So every now and then, you find out something that just perhaps lightens your load a little bit, brings a little pep to your step.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out, Hitch just handed me an article, Dirty Jobs is coming back. This gives me a little bit of a lift.
I thought you were about to talk about Reese's eggs.
No, but I do have some Reese's news. I'll get to that.
Really?
I do.
That's funny.
But you're really into Dirty Jobs?
Dirty Jobs with Micro was one of my favorite shows on Discovery. It ran for about 8 years, and then it went away. And this past year, during all the COVID stuff, he and the bunch of the guys that used to make the show with him got in an RV, traveled the country, not really doing Dirty Jobs, but sort of revisiting the idea and revisiting with some of the people that had been favorites on the show,
mm-hmm.
some of the past Dirty Jobbers. And apparently people were still into it. So later this year, Mike Rowe and Dirty Jobs is coming back. This makes me happy.
Well, that's good. He didn't go to clean up any of those jobs, right? So they're all still dirty.
But have you ever seen the show?
Once or twice. Okay. And most of the shows, they go in there and they try to make improvements.
He's just wanting you to say, that's cool. That's good.
It's not really about cleaning anything.
I think he's just wanting you to.
If it's dirty, you should clean it.
It's about appreciating.
He's the one that asks if pickles are clean.
I understand. And this job is often dirty, this show, but that's not the point. The point is appreciating people who do the jobs that no one else wants to do.
Yes.
And Mike gets in there and does them. And they are often dirty, but sometimes they're just hot and sweaty. And basically, they're saluting what we now call essential workers.
Yes.
Because back in the day,
right,
when this show was on, nobody knew what an essential worker was. These were just the backbone jobs that nobody thought about or wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have come to realize there are jobs in this country
Yes.
That we can't do without.
Absolutely.
And
most of them are dirty jobs.
And well, if you want to call them dirty, but I mean, healthcare workers, come on, at the top of the list, you know? I mean, so that became very clear last year.
People that clean up after the healthcare workers.
Yes, yep.
People that take out our trash, all kinds of.
There's a part of me right now that wants to see if I can get you a guest shot on Dirty Job.
Bill was sharing some scripture from Isaiah. You're going through Isaiah this year, some of the prophets.
Yeah.
You've been in Isaiah since you started.
I will be in Isaiah longer than I planned.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. It was one of my favorites to read through when I was reading through the Bible. As you were reading and just talking about the hope of glory, honestly, that's what we're pointing to with eyes up. Easter is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, Paige Brown, and we're not going to go into talking about her Bible study. It's actually done for the fall semester.
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, she did a teaching a couple weeks ago on Jesus. And the way she set it up in this book that she read through, I don't know. I said it that next day on the air. I just feel more in love with him today than I have my whole life. When you really, it's just hard. It's almost beyond words what he did on the cross and how much he loves us. And I think the way she set it up from the Old Testament to the New Testament, she just tied them more together for me than I've ever had before. And that it was just the whole point of mankind was God demonstrating his love for us, him pursuing us. And it made me think of our telling of the Easter story. And I know it's a wee bit early.
Just a wee bit.
To bring it out. We usually bring it out, you know, like the Thursday or Friday before Palm Sunday and then the whole next week. But I don't know. I have been in the Easter spirit. I know we usually say Christmas spirit, but I've been in the Easter. I've been looking forward to Easter since 2 weeks ago when I saw that study on Paige.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I think we
So you want to play the montage that we put together a few years ago that tells the Easter story and weaves it in with some of our favorite songs.
Yeah, I do. Is it too early to prep for Easter?
Only the 19th of March
now.
Well, yes, but Easter is right at the beginning of April.
True.
Yeah, April. Is it April 4th? April 4th.
Let's take a vote. Who wants to play the Easter montage?
Both my hands are up.
Okay, that's
that pretty much seals the deal. There's only three of us.
Hands are up
so
right
she
now.
Gets two votes.
Dave didn't even have to raise his hand.
Yeah, so
but
there you go.
You're on the same page.
Oh, yeah. So, the long-awaited Reese's news. You now have a second option. Other than the Reese's egg for Easter.
We don't need a second option.
You don't need one, but sometimes, well, Bill, this isn't going to help you.
No.
It's still milk chocolate. It's still the same milk chocolate and the same peanut butter creamy filling.
What is it about these Reese's eggs, man? They just, the last several years I have resisted, but they have called my name this year and I have responded. I have responded.
You have called my name. So, now, in addition to the Reese's eggs, you can add a companion, the Reese's peanut butter carrot.
Let me see.
Because what goes with bunnies?
Carrots.
Carrots. They've even put a little kind of,
it
looks like where the greens have been cut off at the top.
Yep. There was no need for this.
So what is it?
It's a peanut like a butter egg, only it's like in the shape of a carrot.
A carrot. Yeah.
Okay, so it's chocolate with peanut butter in the middle.
That's what Reese's
is. As I said, it's the same milk chocolate. And the same creamy peanut butter filling.
You know him, Dave. Like, he has to see it. He does not understand until he sees it.
It's like you got your chocolate on my peanut butter, and then somebody else said, no, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate.
And then they formed it into a carrot. So, yes. That's exactly what it's like.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Somehow I feel like you and I are just missing each other today.
No,
you're not. I'm witnessing it. And normally I side with you a lot. Well, that's not true. That's equal. I'm with Dave today. That was pretty funny.
I made a pretty big deal out of the fact that it was the exact same as the Reese's egg.
Yeah.
So when your response was,
oh,
it's like peanut butter and chocolate.
This one's like a carrot. It's not at all like a Reese's egg.
Okay.
If you are a 20-something, maybe you're 21 years old, do you realize that when you were born, we were still in the 20th century? So you went through the millennium. You went through the 9/11 terror attacks. You were alive at that point. Hurricane Katrina made landfall. As a teenager, you've lived through quite a few different things. Your heart, if you were born on the date that Mike Grady was born, which is 11/1/99, your heart has beaten 780,985,964.56 times since you were born. You've taken about 192 million and change breaths. And since when you were born, there were about 6,108,000,000 people alive on Earth. And now there are 7,739,000,000 people on Earth. Let me see if there's anything else that's worth bringing up here. Oh, you're 7,809 days old. So 708,005 days before you were born, Garfield, the comic strip, ran its first strip. And yeah, so you can find all this out at yourgettingold.com. There's a website called yourgettingold.com.
Ooh. I certainly felt it as you continued to talk.
This is a 21-year-old I'm talking about
here.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's what made me feel old.
I don't know that I want to go to this website.
Well,
did you go for yourself?
I went for Grady. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Went for my 21-year-old. I'm not doing
word.
It for me. You know, if I put
mine
in there.
You realize we predate compact discs. And most of these people that you're talking about have never lived in a world without them.
True. I don't want them. I don't have any need for them
now. A girlfriend, somebody I went to high school with, she posted a picture the other day of Ronald Reagan. Just out of curiosity, I guess. But she posted a picture of Ronald Reagan on her Instagram. And she said, young ones, do you know who? And it was an older picture of Ronald Reagan, like back probably when he was an actor. No, not that young. Early on, probably when he was in California. Governor of California. And it was crazy. They didn't know. The lot did not know who it was. They did not know who Ronald Reagan was. I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness. That's crazy to me. You know?
It is. Well, this is kind of just a fun little website where you can see.
And what's it called again?
It's yourgettingold.com, but be careful because it's you.regettingold.com. So we'll have Hitch put this at themorningcruise.com so you don't get a fake site. But this is just a calculator that you can plug in your birthday and see all the things that have happened since you've been alive, how many breaths you've taken, how many times your heart has beat. It's got stuff on travel, on world events, all kinds of fun things that you can do just as a talking piece.
Bill's Big Word of the Day.
Diffident is the big word of the day today. Not different or dissident. This adjective means lacking confidence in one's own ability to be shy or timid. It comes from a Latin word meaning mistrusting originally, but diffident is a cool word because it has a couple of different connotations. You can use it in different ways. Those who are actually really shy or too reserved or restrained in their manner or conduct, but also people who are coy, self-effacing, and unassuming. So it sometimes has a little artifice. All right, so here's your sentence using the word. Athletes and celebrities are sometimes diffident in answering questions about their talent and success, which is preferable to arrogance. That's the big word of the day today, diffident.